Levy payers will be only too aware that Britain left the EU earlier in 2020. We're in a transition period as we move towards January 21, when deal or no deal, things are likely to be very different in the future. But there's a big question, and that big question is around the trade deal. Deal or no deal? And to discuss that in today's podcast, I've got David Swales, who's Head of Strategic Insight at AHDB, and David Udall, the Head of Market Specialists, concentrating mostly in the arable sector. So, gentlemen, if I could start off with David Swales, give us a little bit of background as to where we are, given that we're now racing towards the middle of November.
Yeah, thanks, John. I think the key thing is that the clock is ticking, and you're absolutely right. Brexit's already happened. So Brexit technically happened at the beginning of the year. But for the bulk of this year, we've been in a transition period. So we've kind of been sheltered, really, from some of the economic effects of Brexit. We've been temporarily still in the customs union and the single market. And that's going to change. So we do know that change is coming. There's obviously lots on the news, lots of speculation around whether or not there's going to be a trade deal. Indeed, whether or not there is a trade deal, there is definitely going to be change come January the 1st. And that's going to have an impact on farming. It's going to have an impact on the wider food industry. So a range of things are going to change. So how we trade with the EU and indeed the rest of the world will be affected. How we access labour and the sort of free movement of labour which we've had with the EU will change. And finally, we obviously know that government support arrangements and policy for agriculture is changing as well. So there's kind of lots of change and lots of issues for farming to sort of get their head round and adjust to. And there's probably certain steps and measures which farmers have to take in order to get themselves ready for the changes which are going to come through.
Okay, so let's talk about some steps and things that levy payers can do in a few moments. But David Udall, if I could just turn to you. David is talking about change. What impact are some of these changes likely to have on levy payers?
So I think there's probably a bit of a short-term impact and a long-term impact, really, because we're trading in a very different season for cereal crops specifically this year than what we've had for a long time, because we've got the smallest wheat crop in 40 years, and that really changes the trading complexion of where we sit. So, you know, for a long time, we've been a net exporter of wheat, and for this season, we're going to have significant imports. So it does sort of change the pricing structure of where we are. And at the moment, because we're a net importer, that pricing structure is helping to support values on farm, and we've got relatively healthy prices. And that sort of insulates the market somewhat to actually sort of the true impact of what these changes could be. Whereas longer term, if we start thinking about later in 21 and beyond, that pricing structure starts to shift and we start to see lower prices because people are assuming we're going to be a net exporter from next season onwards. And therefore, there's more risks that come into it, because then the impact of any tariffs that are imposed are then greater, because that's a negative impact on farm incomes. So that short to long term balance is the key thing. And that longer term thinking is the key aspect to concentrate on from a farmer's point of view.
Just talk a little bit about tariffs and what the situation is likely to be. And of course, you know, none of us know whether there's going to be a trade deal. We know that the negotiators are working hard and that, you know, government is trying to do the best that it can. But let's be both optimistic and pessimistic. Just talk about tariffs for a moment.
Shall I pick that one up, John? So in terms of tariffs, obviously, in terms of tariffs with the EU, that they would only apply if there wasn't a trade deal struck. So the clock is ticking on that. There isn't a huge amount of time left. And what the EU has is a very clear set of tariffs. It applies to countries which it doesn't have a trade deal with. So in the event of no deal, we would obviously fall into that category. Now, the EU's tariffs are pretty high for food, They tend to be particularly high for livestock products, dairy and livestock products. But they're also high for some crops as well. So, I mean, wheat's a really good example. Tariffs on sort of normal wheat is around about sort of 45% going into the EU. So, I mean, this year's obviously a bit of an exception. As David said, we've got a really small wheat crop, but most years we will be a net exporter of wheat into the EU. So that those wheat exports being subject to a 45% tariff would have a really big effect on the viability of that export. Now, the flip side of it is the UK would apply tariffs as well. So the UK government has announced a whole series of tariffs it would apply. And those tariffs are actually broadly in line with the EU tariffs. They're maybe slightly lower in a few areas, but they're pretty similar. So in all those areas where we do import product from the EU, so potatoes would be a good example. We import loads of frozen potatoes into this country. We would apply tariffs on those imports. So for potatoes, typically the tariffs are around about 10%. For vegetables and fruits, they're around about that 10% level. So these tariffs, basically, for a farmer, they will create some opportunities on our domestic market, as well as some negative impacts on our exports. And it all depends really on what the net flow of product is. So if we're a net exporter, exports are a bad thing because they add costs to our exports and make our products less competitive. Whereas if we're a net importer, it's probably good news for farmers domestically because those tariffs will add to the cost of imports and make our domestic product a bit more competitive on our market. And domestically, we can charge a bit more. So there's sort of flip sides depending on what it is you're producing. So a really key thing for farmers to do is to understand what the trade situation is for the products which they produce. And obviously at AHDB, we've got a wealth of market information. My colleague, Mr. Udall, publishes a whole range of market reports which can help farmers understand that information and understand, well, where do those trade flows happen and what might those impacts be?
David Twells, thank you for that. So let's go to David Udall then again. And David, tell us a little bit about some of these reports.
Yeah, so I think, sort of following on from what David was saying there, I think the key thing from a farmer to understand is that also we will be seeing a changing pattern year on year, which is pretty much going to be driven by weather and the impact on crops and yields, and that will change our trade balance. So yeah, understanding what that position is and understanding what the market is saying is going to be a key aspect. And the other aspect of sort of, you know, whatever the situation, whether we have a deal with the EU or not, and we have tariffs or not, you know, we are losing a large amount of the EU sort of wider protectionism, which opens up to international trade. So from a domestic market perspective, we're suddenly impacted by what's happening on a global scale much more as well. And we have been for, you know, the majority of crops that we've growing over the last 20 years as EU intervention was scaled back through the 90s and early 2000s, it opened us up to more and more impact of the global market. So understanding what is happening not only on a domestic level, but then understanding also what's happening on a global level is going to be the key thing. That helps you to understand what's going to be driving your prices. It helps you to then understand how that's going to impact your business. The key thing with all of this is that there isn't a magic bullet. There isn't one report that I can say we produce that will tell you everything that you need to know to market your crops at a profit. It's far more complex and more detailed and more time consuming than that. You know, the key thing from a farmer thinking about a long-term planning, not only is looking at the markets, of which, as you mentioned, we publish regular reports across all sectors on a weekly and even daily basis discussing what's happening on a domestic and global level, but also understanding their business and their cost of production, because ultimately we're talking about price here and the impact on tariffs and of a trading situation on price and whether that's good or bad. And a single price on its own doesn't really tell you anything from a farming perspective until you start to compare that against your cost of production and understanding your business, and then putting that in the longer term context of a budget and a forward cash flow and a plan to actually get a good idea of what is a a profitable price and what is a non-profitable price, and then the decisions that come from that. So, from an AHDB point of view, we have a vast amount of market information that we're publishing. That's only one half of the equation. We also then need to be looking at cost of production and starting from a business level. And that helps sort of add the other part of the jigsaw, as it were, to give a full picture for a farmer to be able to understand the impact of these changing prices upon their business and upon their bottom line, so that they can make more informed decisions and ultimately stay as a more sustainably profitable business going through a very challenging time.
Staying with you, David Udall, is your impression that arable farmers are as informed about this as they should be? Are they paying enough attention, or is it your impression that actually they should be more closely connected?
That's a difficult question. It's a really good question, because it kind of opens up a bit of a complex discussion, really, because, you know, we're talking about markets and prices and the impact of these sort of changing trading relationships upon the domestic market, and therefore upon prices and farm profitability. So, you know, we're asking a grower to be an economist and a business manager in this sense, but then also through the course of their day, they're going to be chemists, biologists, they're going to be machinery laborers helping to, you know, fix broken parts on machinery as well. So, you know, there's a whole time issue that this comes to as well, that to, you know, fully understand the entire picture, they need to be probably spending a lot more time on this than they are. But realistically, that isn't possible for their day, which is then where we come into it, because our role as AHDB is to take that mass of information and condense it down to the key points and the key information that's going to be the real pertinent points that will be impacting their business and the key things that they need to be looking at. And, you know, that then comes across a variety of different mediums, whether it's, you know, me talking to you on a podcast today, or whether it's an email report going out, or the webinars that we're doing, or in a hopefully normal world at some point in the future, the physical events that we do with farmers. The key thing is to pick out the key messages that will be impacting upon growers. And again, that's where we come in. And as we spoke about the market reports that we discussed about earlier on, they don't just focus on price. You know, David Swales' team is also putting out information regularly on what's happening from the consumer side and the retail side, and the impact on policy as well. So, it's our role to take that information and condense it down to the key parts that the entire supply chain needs to understand and concentrate on.
So when you condense it down, is it presented in a readable format? Because I can just imagine, levy payers listening to this thinking, you know, I've got a spanner in one hand, I've got a calculator in another, I'm trying to drive, you know, the workforce and so on. The last thing I want is to sit there with a very complicated document and try and work out how it relates to me.
Yeah, that's the key challenge of my job you've just succinctly put together there, John. So let's see how well I do answering this question. But we spend a lot of time discussing the communication side of our of the analysis that we create, because you're right, there is a risk with the work that we do that we overcomplicate, and, you know, we have to understand that a large proportion of our audience that we're talking to are challenged in the time in their days. So we do spend a lot of time to ensure that the reports that we're producing are succinct and very readable. For instance, in my role, we produce a weekly report for the potato markets, looking at what's happening in the markets and giving prices. And we ensure that the information there is just simple one-line bullet points that condense the key points that people need to understand, so they can quickly find their market, find their prices, and the three key things of that week that are driving their market to help them understand. So, yeah, that communication challenge is the key thing. And I think, you know, when you come back to asking the sort of the question before about are people engaged enough, I think it's a commitment that's needed to be made by growers and by the supply chain to actually commit the time, whether that's only 20 minutes a day, half an hour a day, just if they can in the morning or in the evening when they get in, and just sort of sit down and have a quick look on the AHDB website and just scroll through the information there, just to keep up to date. There isn't a single point in time where everything will happen. It's a sort of a rolling narrative that will continue to build, and you know, the more often you're looking at it, the easier it'll be to understand, and the better, more informed decisions that can be made.
David Swales, if I can just come back to you now. There's been a lot of modelling that's been done by AHDB, I understand, but there's also some characteristics of high-performing farms. And perhaps you could tell listeners a little bit about some of that modelling work and the sorts of things that AHDB suggests levy payers pay attention to.
Thanks, John. So, we've had a few Brexit deadlines in the past, haven't we? One or two have passed by, and ahead of those deadlines, AHDB have done some work to understand what impact the sort of full effects of Brexit would have on different types of farm business. So lots of that information is on our website. So there is an EU exit section of our website where you can get hold of a lot of this information. But in a nutshell, we looked at a range of different types of Brexit scenario. And I think it's fair to say an exit scenario where we do have a trade deal means, in terms of impact on farmers' profitability, that the sort of movements are much more modest than they would be if there wasn't a trade deal. So that's the sort of outcome I guess everyone's hoping for. But we looked at a whole range of scenarios, including some quite hard Brexit where there were full tariffs in place. And what we found there was a bulk of sectors actually were reversely affected. So we saw farmers' incomes drop across most sectors. But what we did find is that the farmers who were the most efficient, the sort of high performing farmers in the top 25%, they were able to weather whatever type of Brexit scenario our model threw at them. Pretty severe impacts in terms of prices and big drops in terms of support payments and increased labour costs. So we looked at a range of factors changing as a result of Brexit based on a set of assumptions we came up with. And yeah, you really did see those high performing farms were able to weather everything which was thrown at them. So this is a quite a key message, I think, for farmers. There's a whole load of things with EU exit which are well out of the farmer's control. I mean, you can't influence the sort of support package government provides to you. Yeah, you can't influence what that trade deal looks like, but you can control your own business. And if you aren't already in that high-performing farmers group, there's probably a need for you to have a look at what other farmers are doing and make some steps to hopefully move your business forward over the next few months and years so you can weather the effects of all of this. So, on our EU exit pages, we've got a copy of the report we produced, which looks at what are the characteristics of these high-performing farmers. I think there's 8 key characteristics, which I'm hoping you don't ask me to list, John, because I don't think I can remember them all. But the information's all on the website. And if they're already in that high performing category, then great. They're well positioned to deal with all of this. But if they aren't, they need to kind of look about and get a feel for where they are compared to others, start to maybe benchmark themselves or compare themselves in terms of KPIs with the rest of the industry. And there's some good tools AHDB has which can help them do that. And then they can kind of identify, well, what it is, where the areas I need to improve on as a business to make myself more profitable going forward.
We'll reward your honesty by putting a link to those 8 characteristics in the show notes.
Thanks, John. I've probably got to about 5 or 6 and then run out.
On that, now all you're doing is tempting me to ask you, so we better keep going ahead. Gentlemen, I think we'll leave it there. Thank you very much to my guests, David Swales and David Udall from AHDB. My thanks too must go to podcast producer Aisha Shabnam. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.